Well, praise the Lord. We're going to look in Romans chapter 4, and we usually take an offering this time. We'll be taking an offering at the end of the service when you're being dismissed. You can just drop your offering in the bucket. It'll be over here by the door where we'll be exiting, and so doing things a little bit different. I want to share a message entitled Anarchy versus Piety. Anarchy versus Piety. Out of Romans chapter 4. In verse 13, it says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be together today. We certainly are glad to be able to be in the house of God, and we're glad to be able to see our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that you are in control of all things and directing all things, and we've come to worship you. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd be our teacher today to try to help us to make some sense of the world in which we're living in. Lord, we need to be sound in our judgments and sound in our understandings, Lord. Now, we really need our faith to increase. We need the grace of God to be manifested in our lives personally and certainly nationally. And so, God, direct the preaching of the Word of God today. We'll praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 15. "Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression." We watched over the last several months, some very strange things taking place, especially in just recent days, things that are going on in our country, real issues and crises that need to be addressed and be acknowledged and try to make sense of. And so I really struggled this week trying to determine what I was going to preach on. And my heart's so burdened with all that I see going on, and I certainly don't want to get in the flesh about anything. I want to be driven and directed by the Spirit of God. But we're seeing anarchy unfold itself in our society. I've said this in the past, but in the past it wasn't as severe as it is right now. And there is a decision that has to be made individually and nationally. Are we going to live as a country and a people in anarchy? Are we going to live as a country that's operating in piety? And so we have to make those decisions. They're hard decisions. And that with those decisions come great responsibilities. And so anarchy versus piety. The devil has done very well and very strongly creating division and hatred in our world. I'm amazed at the hatred between unsaved and saved. I'm amazed at the hatred between race against race. I'm amazed at the hatred that even has been rising up within Christian circles against other Christians. And it's an alarming thing. The devil is having a heyday in the world in which we live. He is the god of this world. And he is doing a great job in causing division, heartache, and sorrow, and creating anxiety and anarchy in the world that we live. I thought of COVID-19, just a few things I've been observing. COVID-19, when it started, when it began, and there still are those that say it's a hoax, but yet you can go to the hospitals and see the people dying from it. So there's a division. There's those that say COVID-19 is a hoax. There's the division between those that say it's not a hoax. But the reality is people are sick and people are dying. Dealing with it, you may have a different understanding of how it's being dealt with. The extreme measures that have been taken or whatever, you certainly can debate about that and have different ideas about that, but that you don't have to be hateful about it. So there's those that hold that it's a hoax, those that say it's not a hoax. There's those that state that it's a power grab, and those that state it's a health issue. And yet, in the trends and the things that are going on, it seems pretty evident that there is somewhat of a power grab, at least a minimal, but I think it's more severe. But it is a health issue also. I mean, I've had people debate about how we're going to come back into the church and the things that we're going to be doing and trying to establish safety guidelines and this, that, and the other, and not wanting to acknowledge it or adhere to it. And it is, still is a health issue, even though there are those that are taking advantage of the health issue and trying to use it for their own advantage and power. There's a difference, a divide between quarantine or free versus freedom. And what right does the government have to quarantine me? And I've had people, you know, tell me, you don't quarantine healthy people. Well, you know, if you want to be around sick people and get sick, then that's fine. I feel as though that we have the freedoms as American to decide whether we want to be quarantined or not. I just feel as though if I want to expose myself and be sick, that's my choice. It might be a stupid choice, but it's still my choice. So you have this conflict that's going on that is developed in our society, and I see some of you getting a little nervous. That's all right. Don't worry. You'll make it through this sermon. There are those that have created a divide and a conflict, whether it is about conspiracy versus political trends. I mean, the conspiracy theories are out there abundantly, whether it's in the secular community or whether it's in the Christian community, they're out there. And bless God, if you don't agree with them, you're in trouble. And there is such a spirit of hatred over these things, just in reference to COVID-19. I thought about George Floyd. I'll tell you one thing, it is a shame how that man died. And it is a horror story to look at and consider what took place and what happened. But now there is a divide. There's hatred because of that. Law enforcement, should we have law enforcement versus murder? You do understand that though, during the whole time that all these protests in the last 2 weeks in reference to George Floyd has been going on, there's been more than 48 murders in Chicago. As cries for defunding the police cry out. Because of the disagreement about what went on there. Hatred, protests versus rioting. You know, when somebody loots and robs a store, that's not protesting. That's rioting. If you say something about it, people get upset about it. Justice versus loss of property and life. There's so much talk, call, cry out right now for justice. But wait a minute, justice is not achieved by creating a loss of property and life of those who had nothing to do with it. That's not justice. Support for the police versus defunding the police. Order versus takeover. Seattle, I can't believe what's going on in Seattle. It's called Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, CHAZ, that has been set up. They have literally taken over 6 blocks of Seattle. I thought barriers and walls were racist, but they put up their barriers and walls to keep people out, that they only let in who they desire to come in. It is run by Antifa. You say, well, I don't believe there should be law and order. I don't believe there should be authority. I don't believe there should be guns. But they're patrolling the place with AK-14. What is that? I forgot what the name of it is. AR-40. What is it? Yeah, there you go. Anyway, they're walking around with rifles and everything else, controlling the people that are there. The mayor of Seattle called it very patriotic. And a group of people take over a city and call it that it's our own country? That's not patriotic. She went on to say that it was going to be a summer of love. I don't see much love going on as stores are being burned and people are being beat up. We've lost our minds because of the fact that we have this spirit of anarchy versus piety, and it has created an atmosphere of anger and hatred towards one another because we may not agree about the issues that are going on. Protests, peaceful demonstrations of disagreement with lockdown orders. You know, there's been people that have protested these lockdown orders were labeled a danger to our nation. And yet, mobs rioting and looting are ignored and even encouraged by leaders and labeled being mostly peaceful. As you see people crying in the streets because their business has been burned down. Hatred. We are now having to deal with all these different kinds. I thought this was interesting. All we have heard for the last several years is this matter of social engineering. In our schools, social engineering. On our college campuses, social engineering. All this instruction about how America needs to be a different country and we need to socially engineer what it should be. And then with this COVID-19, it's social distancing. Social distancing, separating people from people. You know, the old adage is you divide and conquer. Amen. And the more they can divide us, the more control they have over us. And so divide and conquer, we went from social engineering to social distancing to now it's social justice. So the mob can take into their own hands, their own rule, control of the masses that have been separated from each other. Oh, I tell you, the devil's a mastermind. And he's done a great job in taking our young people and polluting their minds to think that America's not good and freedom's not available for everybody. And we have allowed this to take place. The social engineering and distancing and justice has developed a mob scene where now our historical sites, our statues in reference to leaders or those who had influence on our nation, whether good or bad, are being torn down. Now, think back with me. What was the thing that the Taliban did when it took over countries? They tore down their statues, their artwork, anything that had to do with their history so that they could rewrite the history, so they could establish the kind of country they want. The reality is, you can do whatever you want. History does not change. And you might not like what went on in our history, but you can't change it. But you can certainly learn from it so that you don't repeat the errors of history. The response of people is simply this: to disagree with the movement or what's going on is to be called a racist. To disagree with the movement or what's going on is to be identified as a bigot. To disagree with some of the conspiracy theories and things that are going on in Christian circles and things that people are embracing, you're identified as a liberal and a heretic. You're identified as someone who is out of touch and is not aware of what is going on in the world. I've had that said to me in the last several weeks. You know, the interesting thing is everything that happens is not in reference to that's the Antichrist and that's 666. I remember back when we first got saved, Visa came out, the Visa credit card. And everybody, all these different prophetic preachers were preaching how the Visa credit card was 666. And it was the mark of the beast. And I thought, oh man, I got in. I said, I ain't getting no Visa card. I mean, I jumped on the wagon. And well, guess what? It's not. If you disagree with structure or anything going on our government, you're labeled as being unpatriotic, to disagree with where we're at, and is to lose your freedom of speech. For years, college campuses have shut down anybody who has a political position different than the students or the college have not been allowed to come and speak on the campuses. And now we have, whether it be Facebook or whatever the different medians are, stating that if you do not state and adhere to certain guidelines politically or whatever, they will shut you down and not allow you to be on and publish what it is you want to show forth. Where does that come from? It comes from hatred. Where there's no law, there is no transgression. So in other words, if people ignore the law, they do away with the law, no matter what they do, they're justified in what they're doing because of the fact I'm not transgressing anything because I'm the one to set the rule. Today is Flag Day. Our flags on the flagpole are ripped and tattered. I was going to get new flags. I'm going to for the 4th of July, but I want them to fly like they are right out there because that's what they represent, this country that is ripped and tattered right now. And I'll tell you, it is time, it is high time for us to start to acknowledge the social ills that we have and those that are wreaking havoc in our nation, our country, our neighborhoods. Need to be stopped, needs to be brought to an end. Does it mean I'm unloving? Absolutely not. Does it mean I'm a racist? Absolutely not. Does it mean I'm unpatriotic? Absolutely not. But unless you have to decide, unless we're going to be a country of law and order and not a country of chaos and disorder, the people are going to decide that. And so, anarchy versus piety. Matthew Henry said this about this verse, and I thought it was interesting. I'll put the quote up. I think you can read it pretty good on there. He said this verse, "Where no law is, there is no transgression." And he says this, it's an acknowledged maxim, which implies where there is a law, there is transgression. And that the transgression is provoking so that the law worketh wrath. So in other words, Paul's not saying that we're not to have any laws. He's saying to be aware of the fact that he's talking about faith and he's talking about grace and he's talking about being a people of faith and talking about being saved. If there's no law, you have no means to be able to identify what transgression have you committed. If there's no law, then what justification does God have to say that I need to be saved? Where there's no law, there's no transgression, but the reality is there is a law. And it provokes the wrath of God. We have forgotten that we're a nation of law and order. The principles that of law and order are presented in the scriptures, and that is what we need to live by. Notice in verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. We need to be people of faith that releases the grace of God. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that which also is of faith in Abraham, who is father of us all. And the interesting thing is this, when he states he's father of us all, God created Adam and Eve, and everybody is born of Adam and Eve. And God used Abraham through the promised seed that he would create a nation who would be Israel, that the Messiah would come. But you do understand that Ishmael is also a son of Abraham. So in Abraham, all peoples, Gentile and Jewish alike, are represented in Abraham. So all are to come into faith and be able to demonstrate the grace of God. Now, I want to show this to you real quick. That's all introduction. will be done in 20 minutes, I guarantee you. Look all the way back in Genesis. Oh, no, he's starting in Genesis. My wife is cringing over here. First of all, let's consider man's approach to God. If we're going to be able to deal with the issues in the world that we're dealing with, we have to start where the Bible starts in reference to man's approach to God, and that is the origin of life. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything begins with God. And if everything begins with God, then that establishes our ability to have philosophy and theology. Our children, you and I, we go to college and we learn philosophy in college. A philosophy is an evaluation of what life is and how man is to live. Theology is the assessment and evaluation of who God is. And so if we're going to be able to have a society that's viable and peaceful, then there has to be the origin of who we are based on the philosophy and theology of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And if we do not build everything off of that premise, you're going to come up with the wrong answer. You're going to come up with the wrong approach to life. And we as a nation, as a people, have gotten so far away from God, the foundation no longer exists. It's not just blurred. It doesn't even exist. And so we have to turn our hearts back to God and back to our approach to God is everything begins with God. And so if everything begins with God, then everything needs to be established and assessed in reference to who God is. And so that's where we get our philosophy, and that's where we get our theology. But because of social engineering, we have turned to humankind, we've turned to mankind to get the foundation of our philosophy, and it doesn't work. And that whole philosophy based on man's approach and who man is develops socialism, it develops communism, it develops dictatorships, and all these different things that go on. And if we do not have the basics or foundation of who we are, we will not have the right philosophy, and certainly we will have the wrong theology in reference to God. So everything begins with God. Man's approach to God, he has to deal with the origin of life, and he has to deal with the fact that we are created after our kind. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 21. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Over and over again, God says, after his kind. And the reality of God's being the origin of philosophy and theology, after his kind and his creation establishes a sound biology. And so when we say that God, a man is not to be a homosexual, why is that? Because God created them male and female. And we reproduce after our kind. And because a person biologically is born a man, he's a man. If he has biologically been a woman, she's a woman. And if we try to approach life in reference to, I have all these sensual, lustful desires in my body that just isn't acceptable, or maybe, man, I don't understand why I'm having these feelings, I know what I'll do. I'll look to man. I'll try to explain it myself. And we develop all these mindsets of what man is. And we develop bad biology. When you say man has evolved over the millions and billions of years, you're not starting on the premise that God created everything, and because God's not the creator of everything, your theology and philosophy is wrong, and so now you don't see what is living on this earth reproducing after itself, and it reproduces what it is itself, and so you have to change your biology. So even our biology has to be based on our approach to God. And then we're created in God's image. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 25, and God made beasts of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. We are created in the image of God, and that establishes for us anthropology. You study man based on how God created man, not based on what man thinks he wants to be. And so you look at our society, and we look at our families, and we look at the breakdown, and we say, why is there so much anger and resentment and hatred? Because one person says he's this, and one person says he's that, and because I don't agree with this person over here, now I'm a bigot, I'm a racist, whatever. You put a tag on whatever name you want. And it's because of the fact that we have not identified and held to how man ought to properly approach his God, because everything's based on his God. So not only do we have man's approach to God, but we have man's acknowledged society. You know, God said it's not good for man to be alone, so he created for him what? A woman. Now, out of that relationship as a husband and wife together, there was a whole society that has been created. And so it is important to understand how man needs to approach God, but it's also important to know how he should approach his society. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9, you can see he needs to acknowledge there's good and evil. Genesis 2 and 9, it says, now the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight, for and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so when you acknowledge there is good and evil in the world, that will enable you to ethically live in this world. Something may be convenient. The next one is ethically. You can look at the world and say, well, you know, this situation is available for me to do that. Well, it might be available for you to do it. The tree of knowledge and good and evil was available for Adam and Eve to partake of it, but it wasn't ethical for them to partake of it, because God said, thou shalt not eat thereof. And so if you have human society that is dysfunctional and it's out of control because immorality is escalating, it's because that man has not acknowledged the reality of good and evil in the world that we live in. And I have an ethical responsibility to obey God. Then you deal with marriage in chapter 2 and verse 23. Adam said, now this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Marriage. When man acknowledges society, he acknowledges within society there's good and evil, but he also acknowledges marriage. Why? Because marriage is established sociology. Sociology. Human society. God has not created us to be as a social interactions that is embracing evil. God has so designed us to develop life together. I just did a wedding last week. And, I always say this, that marriage is the foundation for the church, for human society, and also the foundation for, there's one other thing, I always forget what it is now, for the home. So the family, human society and the church has its foundation in marriage. And so we take and we try to assess the world we're living in, try to make decisions about how we should act or react in reference to society, and we come up with the wrong answer because of the fact we're not acknowledging the fact that God brought a man and a woman together to be married for life. So sociology, and then government in Genesis chapter 9. And Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, God tells Noah, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." And so government would enable us to establish polity, which is politics and law. If we're going to be able to have a sound society that overcomes evil, then God established a government. He said, if someone takes someone's life, realize that's lashing out at the Creator, and because they have taken somebody's life, then I give the government the authority to take their life. Why? So as to, how should I say, I don't want to say express, I guess I could say the release, as Paul says, the wrath of God. Law releases the wrath of God. And so man needs to approach God, man's acknowledgement of society, and then man's awareness of history. I don't think it's by any chance that Jesus in Revelation 1 and 8 says he is the Alpha and Omega. The Alpha and Omega is the beginning and the end. And that establishes the means of history. All history begins and ends with Christ. And so reality versus real time. And that's why you see these different signs. People are carrying no justice, no peace. Well, the fact that a statement that you say no peace is a revelation that you're not interested in any justice. So reality versus real time, there was no justice when Christ died on the cross. You tell me one justification that Pilate had. Tell me one justification that the Pharisees and Sadducees had. Tell me one justification the high priest of Israel had in crucifying Christ. There was no justification for it. So there was no justice when Christ died on the cross, but it brought peace because he satisfied the demands of the law of God that was a wrath that was poured out on the transgressions of man. Lessons versus change. In Christ, who brings real change individually and nationally. And so the lessons, we can learn all the lessons we want, but if they don't bring change, what good are they? And so we need real change in our spirits and our attitudes. George Barna, in his survey, I have a quote from him, and this is going to be the end of the message. But George Barna said this. He's done a lot of studying and surveying about people's views, biblical worldviews, studying and assessing patterns in people's lives and certainly in society. And here's some conclusions he came to. And first of all, he said this, although most Americans consider themselves to be Christians and say they know the content of the Bible, less than 1 out of 10 Americans demonstrate such knowledge through their actions. Wow, that's devastating. You say, what in the world is wrong with our society? I'll tell you what's wrong with our society. We're reaping the fruits of not living what the Christian life is supposed to be. He goes on in his research and he says, secondly, the generational pattern suggests that parents are not focused on guiding their children to have a biblical worldview. Less than 1% of the youngest adult generation, 18 to 23 years old, in America has a biblical worldview. One of the challenges for parents, though, is that you cannot give what you do not have. And most parents do not possess such a perspective on life. The home. I'm going to tell you the biggest issue and the problem in America right now is the dysfunctionality of the home. And I was looking at different, these protests, looking at different riots or whatever is going on. And I see all these young people out there. You know what my thoughts were? Where do they work? All these people out there, where do they work? I can't just take off work and go out in the streets for weeks and weeks on end. Where do they work? Where's their family? Where's the function of them in society? I don't know. These are questions I don't have answers to. But I think they're questions that ought to be asked. Everybody talks about, at least we can have a conversation. Well, then don't shut me down. Answer the questions that I have. Thirdly, he said this develops a third challenge. The third challenge, which relates to the job that the Christian churches, schools, and parachurch ministries are doing in Christian education. Finally, even though a central element of being a Christian is to embrace basic biblical principles and incorporate them into one's worldview, there has been no change in the percentage of adults or even born-again adults in the past 13 years regarding the possession of a biblical worldview. You say, what in the world is going on? What in the world is going on? We are watching the demise of the United States of America because we have ignored the Christian responsibilities that God has given us over the last 20, 30 years. Law and order must be restored in our country. That goes without saying. And it's going to hurt. And there's going to be people that are going to get hurt if this continues. Christians, faith and grace has got to be practiced. If we say we're Christians, we need to act like we're Christians. Our young people need to act like they're Christians. We don't get involved in the things that are in the world. We don't get consumed with the things that are going on in the world. We don't act like people that are in the world. We're to be people of faith that demonstrates grace. Why? Because people need to once again see that there is a law, and that law comes from God Almighty, and that law does, yes, it does work the wrath of God when we reject the grace of God. Let me just read our verse here. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. And then he gives the answer to the problem in verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it may be of grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. And then he concludes that verse in reference to Abraham, who is the father of us all. Need to remind others, we need to remind ourselves that we're all one family. We're all created in the image of God. And because we're created in the image of God, it's God's grace that's going to enable us to solve the political, emotional, social, religious problems that are in the world that we live in. But it takes people of God to stand up and act like Christians. It doesn't take grabbing an AR-15. It does not take grabbing a pistol. It does not take taking a baseball bat and beating somebody's brains in. It does not take that. The mighty weapon that we have at our resources is the prayer of God that releases the power of God. And then we live out that power of God in our life daily, every day, showing people what a Christian is and not getting caught up in all these things. Well, I hope that was a blessing to you. I hope I gave you some things to think about that can be put into action in your life, because I really believe God wants us to make a change in our world. What we're going to do is we're going to pray, and when we're dismissed, we're going to be dismissing everyone to go over through the door to my left and going out by the school office. And there'll be an offering bucket over there. Pastor Petrozella will have that over there for you and drop off your offering. These are strange days. I'm having to do things I'm not comfortable doing. But I know this, that God's going to see us through and God's going to help us, and God will give us the strength and the grace to be able to see faith abound in our personal lives and the lives of others. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for allowing us to be together this morning. Lord, these are troubling times, but God, the trials you allow to come into our life are there for a reason, for a purpose. Help us to learn what it is. Help us to reach out to others to be a help and an encouragement to them. Help us to be truthful and honest and loving with the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to be able to show there is hope in Christ. And if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. And all things are new because of our faith in Christ. And so, Lord, bless us, help us. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be together today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.